This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Lonely Planet just got a little less lonely with Chris Zaya on Joy Drive.
Chris, it really is a little less lonely in studio every time you join us.
Hello, you two.
The sting is correct.
It is, and it just makes my little butt goes in the chair every time
wiggles
that
around.
Sting comes on. It is like, yeah, I love that song.
It is a great song. Now, we are discussing something that I have no idea about this afternoon.
No clue.
No clue. Never heard of it. Shoulder season travel? Shoulder travel.
For the listeners, I'm leaning my shoulder in, and it's not like the 80s dynasty, like shoulder pad travel. That's not what it's about. It's about traveling in probably what is one of the not most expensive parts of the year, particularly for the Northern Hemisphere. And it's about saving you some money when you're traveling in shoulder season. So within travel, we talk about peak season and off-peak season. So peak season is when there's the highest amount of demand. And normally for somewhere like the Northern Hemisphere, that's summer. So that's the months of June, July, and August. This is when people are on school holidays or they're on their summer breaks. And that's when a huge capacity is kind of happening in a particular place. Then you have off-peak, which is when it's really unpopular. So think cyclone season in Darwin. That'd be an off-peak season.
Right.
So when there's not like a great amount of travellers that are going. And then in between, we have these shoulder seasons. And for Australians, in particular, this is a great time to travel because you can save yourself a lot of money. The weather's really pretty good in the places that you're going to, and the crowds are down. So often, because the crowds are down, the prices of things are slightly down too. So the accommodation prices are down, it's slightly cheaper to fly, and then you've still got everything open. So all those activities that you want to do in that destination are all available, and it's probably a little bit easier to get them done.
Would you travel off-peak as well?
Off-peak's tricky because you need to kind of really do your research because, again, Christmas is falls in an off-peak season, but that's on-peak as well because high demand time for when people are travelling. I think one of the key things you just need to do is do your research on what is the best time, what is on-peak in the place that I'm going to, and then kind of look around it. But my rule of thumb is that the months either side of summer. So if you're thinking about the Northern Hemisphere, you're thinking about April and May, and then you're thinking about late August and into September.
In terms of the price drop, the price difference between peak and the shoulder season, how significant is it?
Hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Oh, really?
Hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Okay. I was like, $100,000?
Hundreds of thousands.
I described that really badly. No.
I was like, I've never spent $100,000 on a holiday. Here we go.
You were thinking sprinkles.
Yeah, I was.
Hundreds and thousands.
But yeah, it is one of those things that it can save you a lot of money. And it also depends on the time that you travel. So sometimes if you're traveling midweek and during the day, you really can bring your flight prices down by thousands of dollars. So it is, if you can be flexible, then you're going to be able to, and you've heard this from me like ad nauseum him on the show, right? So if you can be flexible, if you can book early, this is the way that you're going to save yourself some coin.
This is, you know, not actually helpful information, but I want to know, why is it called shoulder season?
It literally is because it shoulders the two sides, two sides of the peak season.
Okay. So it could be like sandwich season because it sandwiches the seasons.
I like a sandwich season.
So are school holidays a good guide for...
So that's the other thing that is really tricky when we're traveling is we really would need to look at when destinations are on break. So it's not just about when Australians have their school holidays, but if you're traveling to, for instance, Britain, when are the British school holidays? Because often they're going to be traveling. Again, there's going to be high demand for certain things. Often that happens through July and into August. So you'll find they're really tricky times to go to places like Europe and Britain. Summer school holidays over in the States, you can think about those 4th of July dates as really kind of as markers in the calendar to kind of think, okay, there's a lot of people that are going to be on break. Is this really when I want to be traveling?
So essentially, the shoulder season will just be, we'll literally look where we're going, have a look at their summer, their peak seasons, and then go on either side of that. And then also just be conscious of their school holidays, their big holidays, and all of those sort
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, correct. So if you're looking, so for instance, if you were thinking about Portugal or southern Italy or the Greek islands or even, you know, the top of Africa, so places like Morocco or Egypt, really April and into May, really great times to be considering for Australians. And then you flip it. So you, then you're looking at late August, then into September. October's probably too late for a lot of those places because things do start to close down. So for instance, in the Greek island, the ferries go on to a winter season. So they go on to a different kind of timetable. And so you might not be able to get access the way that you can in those shoulder seasons.
Just in terms of booking to go on a shoulder season holiday, how far in advance should you book? Because I find that I have this habit of, oh, I need a holiday, going to go, and it might be in a month's time, of course. Then you're limited with your options. What's the rule of thumb in terms of booking ahead for a holiday?
I have clocked you as a last minuter.
Oh, 100%.
But I'm trying to change it. I need to change it.
You're always like, yeah, I'm going to book it. I'm like, you need to book it now. You need to book it yesterday, Warren.
Come on.
Have you not learned anything from Chrisaya? Book early.
if you're thinking of traveling in April, May, you've left it pretty late.
Too late.
So, but again, that second part of the shoulder season, so the other side of summer, so late August into September, is still, you know, got some great availability. So I'm looking at doing a big trip around the Greek islands and Egypt actually in shoulder season next year. So we're already planning, booking, getting all of our stuff together. Normally, rule of thumb with flights, they come online about 12 months in advance.
Okay.
So you just need to kind of track things. The other thing with pricing is setting up what they're calling like pricing
alerts.
So those alerts are great because they will tell you if there's been a price drop on the thing that you're on the flight or the piece of accommodation that you're interested in. And all of those kind of site aggregators that, you know, throw all the flights together or throw all the accommodation together will have those mechanisms. So that's a really good one. If you're traveling last minute, setting up those alerts to be able to kind of go, okay, now is the time to book.
And not setting them up for the individual airlines. You're saying go to the aggregator sites.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they have alerts as well.
Correct.
Yeah, so you can say like destination X to Y. Mm-hmm. And then, but the one thing I would say as well, look at me, I'm Chrisaya, is once you've booked your flight, turn those off.
Then
if you get an email saying, oh, it's gone down another $50, ding, you're like, why?
You know, that is actually a really, really good point. So once you've done the booking, cease that.
Yes,
cease that alert.
Unsubscribe.
I feel like there needs to be a website, and maybe, you know, this is an opportunity, Chris, is where you can go and you can see, okay, this is the shoulder season for the country or the destination that you want to go to, because some people can't be bothered researching stuff, and how do you know exactly when the holidays are on? I'm getting the look again.
Research is power. Young man, come on.
Can I just say, from a personal perspective, we have a diet and nutrition expert, Dr. Evangeline, that joins us fortnightly as well. And Warren always gets gold stars from the diet and nutrition expert because Warren's obviously really, you know, fitspo. And I love that we have Chrisaya from Lonely Planet.
Because
and
you get the gold star.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Sharing
I get
him
the
around.
Detention.
You get the ninja star.
Exactly.
No, but look, I think one of those things again, nothing wrong with being a last minuter. Like, let's, you know, people do kind of go, I want a holiday, I've got 4-6
and
weeks.
And life throws up things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but this is where those alerts do come in handy because they really will track those price drops. I go back to what I said earlier, if you can be flexible about when you're flying, so during the day, so missing out on those business flight times. So business flight times are early in the morning, later in the evening. That's when they're really, really super expensive. Uh-huh. And if you can fly like Tuesdays or Wednesdays or Thursdays, you're actually going to get better pricing.
Ah, that's the better day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. Yep.
Well, it's Thursday today and my mum literally flew off to Iceland this morning. So
my heart just sang.
took the tips from Chris and off she goes.
I love it.
Yeah, she's very excited.
That is very exciting. I came back from Tasmania yesterday on a small Rex flight, cheapest chips flight, coming back from Burnie Wynyard into Melbourne Tullamarine. Super, super inexpensive, but again, I did my research.
Chris, we've got a message in saying, guys, loving the show. Is India a good place to travel in shoulder season in April and May?
So India's a strange one. So a lot of Asia falls into, there's only really two seasons. There's kind of like a wet season and a dry season, or a warm season and a cold season. Uh-huh. So some destinations don't have that traditional shoulder season. The further north that you go, the more you'll get it, or the further south you go, you'll get a traditional shoulder season. So I've just come back from Tassie. And I actually was traveling in what would have been a southern Australian shoulder season. So again, school holidays have finished. We've still got great weather. We've still got daylight savings. So you get long days, but, you know, reasonable weather. Everything's open, accessible. Prices have come down because I'm not paying those January prices.
So in India, you would go southern
India. So Kerala, all those kind of businesses.
Right, in April and May would be okay.
Yeah.
But the central part of India would be not ideal.
Yeah, India tends to fall into those two buckets rather than having the traditional shoulder season, as a lot of sort of the equatorial kind of parts of the world do.
Well, I reckon I can get a gold stamp because I think I've just travelled in shoulder season. So I've been to Japan. Came back, a week or so ago.
I don't know about this gold star. It's looking...
No, because I'm thinking about it.
I have pursed lips.
You do have pursed lips. Because the school holidays were over here.
Yeah.
So people had gone back to school.
Yeah.
And it was a lot cheaper than what it was, say, you know, a couple of weeks beforehand. So I reckon I might have got the shoulder season.
You were in off-peak.
Oh, I got off-peak. No, I can't get a gold star for Chris.
It's never going to happen, Warren.
But you went for something very specific, and you went for skiing activities. So there is actually still high demand in that. So this is when it becomes slightly trickier to kind of work out what is on peak, what is off peak, what is shoulder, because then there are reasons to go at particular times of year. So our winter months, so New Zealand, Australia, winter months would be traditionally classed as off peak, but we often travel down to New Zealand and Queenstown because we want to go skiing and all that.
Squeeing.
Sort of stuff. it's a new
sport. That seems like the type of skiing I can do. Squeeing.
That's what I was doing.
I love a squee.
I wonder, this is a challenge for you, Warren, without warning. Mm. Do you have any like fun facts or travel secrets that you could tell Chris?
I did discover a travel secret. Well, I think it's a travel secret because in Tokyo, you know, there's places you can go. You pay to go up the towers and have a look. Mm-hmm. There is a tower. It's a government building and it's called the Metropolitan Building. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be next to the hotel that I was staying in. It's free to go up and it has the most amazing views. And I'm not joking. I went mid-morning, peak time. There was five people waiting in the queue to go up to this massive viewing area. It's a little secret that I found out about. I just stumbled across it. And I was actually going to go to one of the other towers and pay, you know, several dollars to go up and have a look. This is for free and it's the best view.
And isn't it funny? We talk all the time at work about being open to serendipity when we're traveling. And that's one of those moments where it's just kind of like you're looking around, you're observing, you're in the moment. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, I've got this thing next door to me. I should be doing this.
Yeah.
So I think that's really lovely. We'll go off here and we'll find out where that actually is. Okay.
And I've got another gold star for you to give to me.
I will give you a gold star on that.
Oh, my gosh.
The most popular skiing resort, of course, they go over. Everyone goes over to Hokkaido over there and they go and they ski. There's a couple of ski resorts. There's one, a new one, and it's called Moiwa, Moiwa. There were about three lifts there. There were two people skiing in this whole resort. I accidentally found this resort because I skied from Niseko and I thought, I'll follow this through the trees. And I ended up in this resort. I thought, where am I? Oh my goodness, I've come somewhere else. I didn't know where I was. I was in this other ski resort. I was lucky I was with someone and it was a completely different name. My lift ticket wouldn't work there. No, there was not much English spoken at the lift office, but I managed to go up this lift, this chairlift, and I got to the top and I said, the lady at the bottom told me if I can go through this gate, which is a gap in the fence, through the trees, I'll end up back at Niseko, at the resort that I'm staying at. This ski patrolman came running out of his little hut and said, don't go there. It's avalanche material. Do not go. So he said, I'll take you. And he took me on an adventure through the trees following this professional ski. It was the most amazing adventure I've ever had and back home.
This is the other thing that I love about travel, which is the kindness of strangers.
Oh, it's amazing.
There's a whole segment that we need to do on the kindness of strangers, which is when you're in a situation, particularly where language is a barrier, where someone will come along and go, I can see that you're going to put yourself in danger. I will actually help you navigate this in a way that I, because I have the familiarity, I absolutely love stories.
He
like
was
that.
So good. And I said, oh, but the lady at the lift ticket said to go there. And he said, she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
She wanted you to die.
She wanted you to come with me. So I'm going to go back definitely and see that ski instructor.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. Oh, we'll give that a gold star.
Yay. Oh, my. Two gold stars. Warren, honestly. Well, Chris, we have learned a lot as always. So travel in shoulder season. Check where you're going. Check when that is. Either side of the peak seasons is a good time to go.
Yeah, summer is the rule.
Perfect. Perfect. Chris Sayer from Lonely Planet, thank you as always.
Oh, good to see you both.
Catch you in a fortnight.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.